Okay.
Perfect. You want to call the roll?
Yes, so we'll call the meeting to order at 6:33 p.m. and call the roll. Dr. Monica Stewart is absent. Babette Patton.
I am here.
Peggy Holly is absent. Christina Dancy.
I am here.
And Cynthia Martin is absent. Byron Price.
Here.
And Chair Brendan O'Brien.
I'm here.
All right, we have a quorum.
Awesome. All right. There's no minutes, right?
No, I did not get the chance to get them typed up.
Okay. No worries. So there's nothing to approve or deny there. Are there any public comments?
We did not receive any written public comments, and we do not have we have attendees, but these are representatives from the each of the four entities that will be doing the end of year reports for. So I will move them over if you all have questions. Certainly, if they wish to comment for the public comment section, you all can just raise your hand. Otherwise, we will move you over if there are questions about your organizations and your funding requests.
Okay.
Okay, no hands are up, so we'll go ahead and proceed.
Okay. Moving on to the mayor's comments.
I can be pretty brief tonight. I'm happy to answer any questions anyone has. The only action we had at Monday night's council meeting that was kind of intriguing to me because I hadn't been paying attention to it, I guess, is that we are getting a new building and laundromat on Olive Boulevard at the extreme east end of what we kind of call the Seafood City site, right? And it is a couple who are building a, correct me if I'm wrong, Brooke, but it's a, they're putting up a brand new building from scratch where they tore down a building. This is going to be a brand new laundromat. And I didn't know anyone was even putting in brand new laundromats. I thought they normally took an older building and retrofitted it. So we're kind of excited that they are engaged there. I'll continue to say that I believe that the Seafood City site needs to be our next plan for the Olive expansion, if you will. I think it's important for us to do that. I'll also say that the you're getting a very interesting use of prefab concrete in the loop with the new apartments going up on Del Mar in the loop. Those apartments are going up extremely, extremely quickly. I also will tell you that the police station and courts building is right on schedule thus far, which is good. And the final thing I will say, which I think I said to most of you in one-on-one conversations, I do believe it is important for us to continue looking at ways to strategically use the money that we have in the EDRST and the more monies that we are going to have, because we can make a huge difference in our community. We just need to make sure that we spend it the right way and know what we are doing. And still, the best example of that is I think we have to know that the Del Mar loop has probably changed, and we're probably going to need to have to make some adjustments, if you will, to continue to make it even more, to make it viable, to make it more attractive. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but I think the EDRST board and I think the EDRST funds will play a role in that. So that's my thoughts on that one.
And if I may just take a minute to piggyback on that, I do want to introduce you all to Rebecca Becky Alvin. She is our economic development manager. She joined our team in June. So she filled that second position that we elevated to a manager position. You will hear a little bit later from her later down in the agenda about conducting business outreach. But wanted to let you all know who the other person was that's on the meeting, as I know some of you have not had the opportunity to meet her. And to piggyback on what the mayor said, Becky has hit the ground running. So she actually has provided me with some ideas to review for the loop and a visioning process for the loop, as well as some other initiatives. So very excited about Becky being on our team and again, hitting the ground running.
Thanks for being here, Becky. Thank you, Mayor. Moving on to, I guess, the old business, right, Brooke? We're going to jump in the end of year reports. which you've got a vote required bolded here.
Yes, so I will present them. If you all would like me to pull up the memo, let me know. Otherwise, I will assume that you all have looked at it, and I will just review the numbers with you, and then at the end, just a motion to accept the end of year reports. So we will start off with uCity and Bloom. As you all know, this is one of the four entities that we have been funding every year. So for the previous fiscal year of fiscal year 25, they were awarded $54,945 and they have been reimbursed $54,945. The uCity Farmers Market, they were awarded $46,000 in fiscal year 25 to cover their Saturday market as well as their now regular part of their service, the Wednesday market and whatnot. So to date, they have been reimbursed $27,743.93. And they I have pending requests that I received from Deb on Monday that I need to process, and that will amount totals $13,587.15. And once that's processed, that would bring their total reimbursement to $41,331.08. For the Mannequins Project, very popular project, as you all know, they were awarded $25,000 in fiscal year 25, and they have been reimbursed $25,000. So for the Loop Special Business District, for their events and receptions, they were awarded $275,000 in fiscal year 25 to host four events in the fiscal year. And so that's been broken down. Holiday events, they were awarded $52,374. They were reimbursed $40,616.36. For the Loop Ice Carnival, they were awarded $70,090 and they were reimbursed the same amount. Mural Festival, they were awarded $130,177 and they've been reimbursed that full amount. And for that Budding Artists event, which was a new event for the Loop this year, they were awarded $23,395. They were reimbursed $22,875.57. That brings their total reimbursement to $263,758.93. And any unused funds from any of these entities goes back into the reserves. As you all know, when you award these funds, it's not to exceed the requested amount. So if they don't get reimbursed for that amount, it goes back to the reserves. So, the last update I wanted to provide you all with was on the EDRST funding round that we did in fiscal year 24. That was the first year since I've been here where we accepted applications and then quickly learned that we needed to revamp some of the requirements, which we are working on. That said, I am happy to report that as of the end of this fiscal year or the previous fiscal year 25, every one of those entities has been reimbursed. SHED was awarded $16,250. They were reimbursed $8,551.83. uCity Farmers Market was reimbursed $26,500, or I'm sorry, they were awarded $26,500, reimbursed $26,449.63. Well U Cafe, which was a project that everyone was very excited about, and they are progressing, even though it's a little bit slower than they anticipated, due to some unforeseen personal issues. They were awarded $77,200 and they have been reimbursed that full amount. And then LSBD received a number of awards. Advertising, they were awarded $30,000. They've been reimbursed $30,000. Painting the bicycle racks, $10,000. They were awarded. They have been reimbursed $9,850. That expanded outdoor dining award for $25,000. If you all recall at your last meeting, you voted to reallocate that to the city to remove those build outs after LSBD stated they no longer wish to proceed with the expanded outdoor dining. So those funds were reallocated to the city. LSBD for power washing the streets, they were awarded $15,000. They did not do that project. They did not get reimbursed any funding for that. The trash receptacles, they were awarded $90,000, reimbursed $89,195.60. Trash pickup and cleaning, they were awarded $15,000, reimbursed $15,000. Utility box painting awarded 6,000, reimbursed 5,800. And then the repairs to the Walk of Fame, they were awarded 25,000. They were reimbursed $23,600, bringing their total reimbursement to $285,647.06. And as stated previously, any unused funds goes back into the reserve. So with that, do you all have any questions for me on the end of year reports? Okay, and so if there are no questions, Chair O'Brien, I would just request that you ask for a motion to accept the end of year reports as submitted.
Sure. Does anybody want to make a motion? I think
I think everybody's on mute. You guys got a someone's
got the mute button.
Move approval. Go ahead, Byron.
Does anybody want a second?
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So moved.
All right. Next item, new business. So we our meeting tonight to request the release of funds for fiscal year 26 for the four entities that we fund each year. And as you guys know, these funds, you guys will recommend releasing these funds. It'll go to City Council, but they are not released until these entities submit the proper documentation and receipts so that they can be reimbursed for the expenses. So we will start. I'm actually going to adjust the agenda just a little bit and talk about the UCD Farmers Market last. If you read my memo, you'll see that I noted that I would reserve my the staff recommendation for the meeting, and that was because the request they're requesting almost a 100% increase, and so I needed to spend a little bit more time with that. I do have Deb Henderson with us, so she will be available to answer any questions once we get to that, but I want to get through the other ones because I think they're fairly easier to understand. So we'll start with uCity and Bloom. They are requesting $75,260 this year. And actually, let me pause. Let me explain that everyone except LSBD is requesting an increase. And the reason they are requesting it as part of this process is because we have not completed the revamp of the application and everything for the extra funding. So I just recommended that they requested as part of this process. So it's a bit of a deviation from what we've done in the past due to us revamping the programming for EDRST. So for uCity and Bloom, they are requesting $75,260. Previously, they were awarded $52,945. They are requesting this increase to their award because they are undertaking a new project, planting and maintaining trees in the Del Mar Loop. The Loop Special Business District has been asking for years to have trees replanted in the tree wells in the loop. And there's been some back and forth on what type of proper tree should go there. The Loop Special Business District was going to undertake this themselves, but it was recommended that they partner with uCity and Bloom as they have much experience maintaining not just planters for us in various areas in the city, but throughout University City, they have plants, flowers, they have a horticulturist on staff. So it was recommended that uCity and Bloom actually undertake this project as they're the experts. So this would increase their budget by $16,158, and staff is recommending approval. I'll pause right here to see if there are any questions for uCity and Bloom. I do have a representative here if there are.
So the Loop Special Business District's kind of outsourcing this to another EDRST fund. It's kind of like a fund,
Yeah.
kind of commingled, if you will.
If you will, yes. And again, it's simply because the city is has partnered with you, City and Bloom,
Yeah, no, I totally
on
agree.
multiple projects, and it was just staff was just more comfortable. And by staff, I mean even our city manager, as opposed to establishing yet another project or more funding for LSBD, actually giving it to the entity we know will plant, maintain, and make sure that the investment is done wisely. I think I wasn't here, but I think there was an issue before with some trees that were planted and they were not the appropriate species for that area, which is how we got here. So I think that was the thinking behind it. Yes.
Yeah, just want to be clear. I think that people want pay attention to how these funds are used and moved and tracked. So I just want to be clear. But I think it's great. They know how to grow trees and plants better than anybody. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we will, what I'll do is I'll go through the three that staff is comfortable with recommending as is, and then you all can vote on that, and then we can talk about the farmers market, which is a little bit more complicated.
Okay.
So the next one, Mannequins Project, is requesting $36,000 this year. That is slight increase for them, $11,000 increase for them. They've been receiving $25,000 for the last, well, since I've been here, actually, they've been receiving $25,000. In 24, they did get that extra funding for advertising and whatnot. But then in 25, they only received $25,000. So they are requesting to increase their award to $36,000, which is due to their desire to expand the project and include more businesses in every business district. So I do believe I have Audrey with us. I do believe that they expanded, they've expanded every year. The project is very popular. And so because of that, staff is comfortable recommending approval of the $36,000 request. So with that said, if there are any questions for me or Audrey, now would be the time to ask them. Okay, doesn't appear that we have any. Loop Special Business District, their request for their fiscal year 26 funding is for the same amount, $275,000. They intend to host the same events they held in fiscal year 25, which would be the holiday events, the Loop Ice Carnival, the Mural Festival, and the Budding Artists event. The only concern I have, and this isn't necessarily one for now, is at some point, I don't know how many more buildings we have to paint. So they may have to reconsider the Mural Festival. But aside from that, it seems to be a very popular event. I think this was their second year hosting it. So it seems to be well received. So staff recommends approval of their it's just I think this is the third year they'd be receiving this same amount, $275,000. I do not have anyone here from LSBD today, but I think I'm pretty comfortable if you all have any questions, answering some of them for you. Okay, it doesn't appear that we have any questions. So, with that said, if we would pause here, if you all are okay and comfortable, I would request a motion to, well, we may need to take them one by one. If you guys see
Right.
the, I'll read the motion for you, and someone can say so moved and so forth and whatnot. So, for you, City and Bloom, the motion would be to recommend disbursement of funds to you, City and Bloom, not to exceed $75,260 for fiscal year 2026. Did someone motion? I'm sorry. Or so moved.
So if I have to abstain my vote on U City and Bloom because I'm on that board, how should I do that, Brooke?
Well, certainly don't make the motion. We can do a
Right.
motion and second and then call for the vote, and then we'll just note for the record that
Okay.
you are abstaining.
Okay.
That means that Byron and Christine got to step
Yeah,
up to the
I
plate on this
motion
one.
to approve the first one you mentioned.
Okay. Byron? All right. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And Bob Bat is abstaining.
All right. And that is noted. Okay. Second motion is to recommend disbursement of funds to the Mannequins Project not to exceed $36,000 for fiscal year 26.
Hey, Brooke, I do have a question.
Yes.
You said, I think you said all the business districts. So is it two business districts or three business districts or what?
Well, I mean, we have the official Loop Special Business District. Then we have the Olive Corridor, which may not be a business district, but it's the Olive Corridor. But I'm pretty sure Audrey just means it, like anywhere there are the commercial areas where it's commercially zoned. This project started off in the Del Mar Loop, and it has expanded, I believe, farther down Del Mar, and I believe we even had some on Olive this year. If
We
you'd
did.
like, I can certainly move Audrey over to answer those questions. If you're not satisfied with my answer, just let me know.
No, that's fine.
Okay. So we have the recommended. Did we? I don't think we had a motion. I'm
No,
sorry.
didn't have a motion.
A motion to approve the mannequin project.
Byron
Or the mannequin
or
request.
Yeah,
second.
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, that motion is carried. And the third one is a motion to recommend disbursement of funds to the Loop Special Business District not to exceed $275,000 for fiscal year 2026.
Motion to approve that one
Second.
well.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So for the last one, we have the farmers market, and I think I'm going to go ahead and move Deb over, because this one is a little bit more, has a little bit more. So, Deb, I'm going to go ahead and promote you to panelists, but I'm going to present, and then if they have questions, you may answer them. Okay, so the farmers market request for funding for this year. The farmers market is requesting $91,500 for fiscal year 26. Previously, they were funded at $46,000 for the Saturday market, the Wednesday market, and the winter advertisements. A little bit of background for the farmers market before we get into their funding requests. So they are no longer located in the Del Mar Loop. They learned last year, I mean, I think you all probably recall there was some back and forth about them continuing to use the space in the Del Mar Loop. They were able to get a lease in place through the end of, I think, last year, and that has expired. We were approached in January of this year about a space for the farmers market to be held. And so we had some back and forth, went to the Parks Commission and viewed sites and whatnot. And so we all agreed for the farmers market to be held in the parking lot at Centennial Commons near the fountain and the green space that's there. So that's where it has been hosted this season. So we have a facility use agreement in place that runs through November 30th of 2025, which is the end of the current summer season, if you will. And you know, they also do like a winter market. So, part of them using the space at Centennial Commons, this is a novel use of our property. So, it was like it's been a lot of back and forth, a lot of discussions and whatnot of how to treat it. And so, the decision was made to treat it as though it was similar to a pavilion, since it is attached to Heman Park, so similar to renting a park pavilion. So with that does come a fee. When we calculated that fee for the farmers market, who did not at the time have a U City address, it amounted to $800 per month. And so part of what we discussed was them, as you guys know, they are a nonprofit, so they don't profit from what they do. They don't have a lot of revenue coming in. I think we are actually their biggest funding source, if I'm not mistaken. So we did tell them that they could apply to have those rental costs included as part of their EDRST funding for the current fiscal year. And so the Parks Commission and the City Council agreed that for the month of July, they would only have to pay $200 until you all could hear their request and consider it. And if you approve it, then they will increase to the $800 per month. If you don't approve it, then they will pay the $200 per month until the end of the season, and then we'll have to regroup and, I guess, figure something out. So when I received the request for the additional $45,500, that's not what I was expecting, hence the me moving it on the agenda. What staff is comfortable recommending, and I can certainly pull this one up if we need to look at it, but what staff is comfortable recommending is the $3,200 additional, which is, will cover their rental fee through the end of the contract for the facility use agreement, which is November, which is what we agreed upon. And staff is re comfortable recommending the $4,900 request for the winter season to cover the fee at the community center here at HPCC on Pennsylvania. They do hold their winter markets there. They are a nonprofit, and we're not aware before that they could include their rental fees in there. So staff is comfortable recommending the $3,200 and the $4,900. Staff is not comfortable recommending the other requests that were received. So I'm going to pull up the budget document for this, and Deb, I'm just pulling up the one for the $45,500. I'm going to focus on that page, and then we can go from there. And I apologize, I should have had this up already, but I printed a hard copy like we were in person. Okay, share. Okay, can you all see my screen? Okay, so we'll start at the top. So as you can see, the CENTCOM facility fees, the request was for $11,200, which I believe, Deb, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you included that because you were covering beyond the November 30th date. I believe she was covering the entire fiscal year. However, this agreement that we have for Centennial Commons only runs through November 30th, 2025. So I am not comfortable recommending funding beyond that point. I would be m more or less inclined to say if we enter into an agreement for next year, then she can come back to the board in January and request those additional funds to cover that rental fee for next year. But of course, it's your prerogative and your pleasure on what you all recommend. For HPCC, as stated, staff is comfortable recommending the $4,900 as requested. The on-site storage amounts $3,400 and $1,000 for the main season and winter season. Yeah, just not really comfortable. I believe the storage, and this is somewhere, Deb, where you can chime in. I was under the belief that the storage was always part of this, so I didn't understand why it was being requested now to be funded. I just didn't have enough information. And then if we get down to the strategic marketing and recruiting amounts, As you all can see, revamped the brand and logo 10,000, search engine optimization 2,000. I mean, all of this is related to promoting the market, which Dev can speak a little bit more about. Just I think some of the business has declined because of the new location. The primary reason why staff was not comfortable recommending these direct costs for strategic marketing and recruiting is that we just increased their budget last fiscal year for marketing and whatnot. Like that's we went from 28,000 to 46,000, which was to not only include the Wednesday market, but also additional marketing and whatnot. So staff just wasn't comfortable. I staff being me, but I've also talked to the city manager as well, but just not comfortable shooting up yet again. So we went from 28,000 to 46,000 last year, and now we're going from 46,000 to 91,500. And my expectation when I received the request was that we were only considering the rental fees. So that's why I reserved my recommendation to the meeting and had some conversations with the city manager. And those are the concerns. So with that, I have Deb here. We can start dialogue if you all need to ask questions or if you all want her to speak and provide her perspective, however you all wish to do it.
Yeah, if Deb could provide her perspective, I think that would be extremely helpful.
Sure, I'd
Okay.
be happy to. The main reason is that everything is new, just as we, the Parks Department and the city encountered new uses for the park through our request to use it and their suggestion that we use it. And we encountered additional fees that we've never encountered before, storage, rental fees. At the old location, both the private property owner as well as the city donated the use of the public parking lot number 4 for 10 years, and Public Works there made an in-kind donation, and the property owner did as well. And it included storage for equipment. And when you have a site like that where no one else is providing equipment, we needed places to store carts and dollies and tents and tables and all of that kind of thing. And going to the new site, we still need storage, although we're paring it down considerably. And that was not something we've never requested before, nor the rental fees, those kind of things. The move, while it's everybody loves the park and we're getting a lot of new people coming and our social media data is going up, we've lost a lot of farmers, we've lost a lot of vendors, and that is causing a decline in the number of people that are coming to the market. So it's a little bit like tied in and tied out. And the long-term potential of Olive at St. Heman Park is huge. I think the opportunities there for future growth are bigger and probably bigger than what they were in the Loop. But we need help. The market is suffering. And we're still doing what we do, but we have to start thinking differently on our approach. For example, we used to, in the Loop, the music made a big difference. What we're finding at Heman Park with all the new young families coming is that we need to kind of revamp our children's program and bring that back in. We had that early on, and that was disbanded as a regular thing rather than a special event thing during the pandemic. We still had families with kids in the Loop, but we're actually getting more. So we really want to take advantage of that because that's future growth. Anytime you get a younger generations coming to a market or to a business district or anywhere, that means future, future participation. We're surprised we didn't have as many of our previous customers following us as we expected. Also, the area on Olive, well, it's and Hemant Park are kind of beloved to University City. They're not well known in the greater metro area. So a market in and of itself is a destination. But when a market occupies a particular location for a long time, it becomes identifiable with that location. And you have your neighborhood participants and community members. Then you have the people on the greater scale ring around the area that drive to the market. And then even further than that. And this other location is not as recognizable. So we need to rebrand as a destination again to attract that attention, because we're no longer in the old area that people identified us with eventually as we were there a long time. And so those are the reasons we were looking at increased marketing and specialized targeted marketing. A lot of things in new markets that are popping up here and there. They're going into video production. And so we want to amp up those opportunities like drone videos of the market site. Those are big right now, just to stay competitive with other markets. We are getting one thing we're working on with Brooke as I gather more information is electricity. That's crucial. We've had people come to the market and they don't see electricity. They see our generators that we purchased, and they're going, oh, there's not enough electricity here. So while we thought we could just add a few more receptacles, that's turning into a bigger project and would involve maybe Ameren updating the service to that area. We don't know right now whether it's 100 amp or 200 amp, but definitely the service panel in the pump house is only 100 amp panel. 80 amps of that, this I guess 100 amp service and an 80 amp panel, which in part is used to run the fountain. And that has been sketchy. It's going turned on and off. It's been unavailable a number of weeks. Right now it's running and we've kind of think we've figured it out. One of the receptacles is just 15 amps. Now that might be more detail than you want, but that's the reason after a little bit of time, I haven't given all that information to Brooke yet. I've met with three licensed electricians and had them look at the area and have gotten a pretty good evaluation now. So there are things like that that are really kind of hampering us proceeding. The other thing that Brooke mentioned is we're brand new to the Parks Department, we're brand new to the Parks Commission, and the use of the park for farmers market is a brand new use. And it brought up all kinds of questions like, well, what if other people want to use the park, you know, like the farmers market? And how do we handle that? So all of those questions had to be answered and solved. And a process had to be entered into. The timeline for that took several months. The timeline for starting a farmers market season started way before that. And we were actually the Mr. Rose was gracious enough to let us begin at the market site before the agreement was finalized, just to get it going. But it was also after the market season started, and we couldn't do any advertising or any confirming locking in vendor applications online. Our online application was on standby. All of these are location-based. All the contracts we get with vendors, all the contracts we get with sponsors are location-based. So are those what to us felt like delays, but is a very good process to go through to determine Really good agreement between the city and our organization, so that future going forward with this, it could be mutually beneficial for both entities. But that timeline, our timeline, not meeting the usual schedule meant we couldn't get the sponsors we usually do. We couldn't get vendors lined up and confirmed and locked in like we usually do. Even though we did soft recruiting and I made paper agreements, they weren't valid until we got an agreement with the city. The new location is very different. We lost sponsors in the move. And in the early days of the farmers market being in U City, I'm proud to say that we always provided matching funds, not just in-kind funding, exceeding what U City was contributing. And unfortunately, this year we're not able to meet that expectation. And honestly, the last year or two with the loop going through so much development and uncertainty and the empty storefronts, some sponsors pulled out their sponsorship of the market. They didn't feel like it was a good return on their investment. Now we have other people that don't care about anything like that. They just want to support the market, and they're more like individual people or a small law firm or something of that nature. So the reason we're asking to go up is we need help. It's as simple as that. But I also understand what Brooks said about the previous year going up for marketing. And part of our plan there is now that we have learned more of what is needed at that location to promote the market, to work with the new people that are coming in, because there's a difference where the social media is huge. It's gone up 200-300% in some statistics, but the attendance and returning vendors, returning customers visits is not matching that. So why is there a disparity there? Part of it is we lost farmers, so we need our farmers to come back to the U City Farmers Market or to recruit new ones. We're halfway through a market season, and it's very difficult to recruit new vendors at the middle of the season. We're still doing that. We do that year round, but a lot of the bigger farmers that go to markets are locked into places already. Any questions about all of that?
Can I ask? I know that that Brooke talked about the rental fees and things like that. What was the rent that was being paid in the loop?
We didn't pay any rent.
None. So Dan, that was just
So, but what we did do instead is all of the maintenance on that property, the landscaping, we provided. And we provided the security, we provided all the updates. The property only made improvements to if the previously if the electricity needed an upgrade. There was only a pump. There wasn't really a water supply except a pump. So it was really the electricity. In the last 2 years, we made the upgrades ourselves on the electricity, and it's currently not up to code, and so it's unusable. And but the property owner no longer made those improvements. But if a gutter, sometimes kids would come by, or the garbage truck would accidentally bump into a gutter and pull it down, we would provide the in-kind labor to do that. So when you see on our previous reports in-kind labor, that down at the bottom indirect costs, that's what we do. And that's been since day one, 10 years of that. When the other produce stand moved out and we completely gutted one of the rooms where Mama's coal pot, if anybody remembers that, had been, like 30 years of barbecue grease, and there were infestations of old rats and 30 years of trash under the floorboards. We cleaned all of that out. And if there was ever any trouble over there a few years ago due to a dumpster not being up to code, Republic dumpster behind that the corner 17 building used, a rat infestation came in over there. So we liaison with the city, with the county vector control, and with Washington University.
Deb, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it.
Okay.
Got
So that's what we did.
Let me ask you something, Deb. You're not thinking about moving the market out of U City, are you?
No, we love U
I mean,
City.
you talked about it in the past. Other places want you and Maplewood and other places that want the
No.
market.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody wants to see the market go, and we want you to turn it into a booming event over at Heman. So
part of the reason I mentioned those other markets is just one to I guess it was touting my own horn, if you will, is that I've had a lot of public exposure, a lot of experience with the farmers market legislation, which I did 2011-12. It was in the news, Post-Dispatch, Charlie Benintendi's radio show. And so my name is out there. And so people call me, other cities call me for advice. And
gotcha.
other managers from other markets and other cities call and they say, Deb, would you help me? And I was like, well, why isn't your city helping you? Why aren't, So part of that was to let you know that we're a good investment for U City. Our organization and the work we do here is we provide the UC Farmers Market, but our work has also been a broader scope in St. Louis County. The Farmers Market legislation I passed probably has saved hundreds of thousands of dollars in permitting fees in the last 14 years, 2012, well, 13 years, for all St. Louis, for all farmers and vendors who go to St. Louis County to do business. And now we have a really working ordinance. I actually got an ordinance passed and worked with the county council. They invited me to work with them, and it took a year, 10 to 20 hours a week. I donated my time to do that ordinance. So those are all things that are in our organization's background. And
I mean, here's kind of how I look at it. You were in the loop, and the loop is struggling a little bit, and Mr. Wald's property is not available or has moved on to different uses or whatever. And now you got a chance to bring people to Olive, right? We've talked about Olive getting better, and I think if you stay at Heman, I think you can make a run at that, and you can get a lot of people that don't generally go down Olive to stop at Heman and see what we got and check our parks out. So I'm behind that. I generally am. And if you need electric, we'll get you electric or help with that. I think, that could stay forever, right? That's an upgrade to the park or to the pool or wherever. So Brooke, I get your hesitations. I get we're supposed to be good stewards of this money, and I see kind of your side of it, but can we meet, some of these needs and not all of them, and still let Deb, increase the foot traffic, and we give you some more resources, I guess, for marketing and electric and those things, but maybe not all of it. It's kind of how I see it.
Chair O'Brien, of course, that is this board's pleasure. My recommendation, when I make a recommendation, I'm not considering just the entity that's asking. I'm considering policy. I'm considering precedent. In the past, we have told other organizations that a 100% increase in a fiscal year is just a lot.
Yeah, we.
So, and I get these needs are unique. So, what is this board comfortable with? I've given my recommendation, and I'm standing on that. But you all, I serve at your pleasure. So what is your recommendation? How would you like to allocate the funds? You can do the full 91,000, or you can do a portion and revisit. The main thing I would want to advise is that, again, the agreement for Centennial Commons expires November 30th. We'll have to assess what we're going to do after that point, because this was a trial run. Of course, we want to keep the farmers market in the city, which is why we scrambled to accommodate at the last minute. We did receive the request pretty late, in my opinion. We received it in January, and so we had to go through an extensive process, and happy to do so. But yeah, so it's at your pleasure. What would you guys like to do? The mayor has his hand up.
I just have a question, and Brooke, I'm not sure the best way to ask this question without it. I don't want it to sound snarky, but the only thing that staff recommended that we approve was money that comes back to the city anyway.
Correct. The rental fees. And
But
the reason, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I hate to say this, but we're just moving money from one bucket to another bucket by what you're wanting us to do for the farmers market. And I would say, I think Deb may have asked for more than I'm comfortable giving. And I know I'm not this group, but I know the city council has to land in city council's lap at some point in time. But I think this is kind of like the situation we've got in Duluth. There are moments in time when we've kind of got to step up and help. And, if we had a good run in Duluth with Dan Wald and it was free rent and it was kind of a handshake deal and they did I get all that. I recognize that by dealing with the Parks Department, the Parks Commission, we've got a lot more red tape. I do think if we're going to make the farmers market work in its current location, they're probably going to need a little bit of help this year to get back on their feet. I was surprised by the amount of the increase too, so I want to make sure I'm probably right here with Brendan on this one. We got to find a number someplace in between that makes that we're comfortable with and that Deb can live with. I don't know what that number is, and I'll leave that up to you guys. But I think we've probably got to give them a little bit more than just the money that comes back to the city in the first place. I realize I have a lot more leeway in saying that than Brooke does, just so everybody knows.
Absolutely. And
I know I've got that leeway.
I'll also add that, I had I been made aware of the additional request, I was only expecting the rental fees because that's what's discussed. That was what d was discussed. Deb submitted her information. I had it. Obviously, you all know this is not all that I do. So I reviewed it preparing for this meeting, I think last week, and I was kind of floored with the amount because I was expecting just the rental fees. So I am comfortable recommending what I suggested, what we talked about, and what we agreed to. The new information, I don't have an opinion of whether it's needed or not. I'm just not comfortable recommending that. And that said, I serve at the pleasure of this board. So you all do
Yeah.
not have to accept my recommendation. You may proceed as you'd like.
Brendan, I have a question. And I don't know if this is Brooke or Deb, or maybe it's for both. I go to farmers markets all the time too, and I don't know if I've seen one where it's been so close to a grocery store. I'm just curious if Schnucks has provided any feedback. Have they said anything? It long term, as we think about the investment. Is there any concern that this all might be disrupted because we could potentially, I don't think we're going to lose Schnucks, but you know what I mean? Like any pushback from them because people may choose to go to a farmer's market instead of Schnucks.
I can answer that in part. When we did the farmers market legislation, at that time, the Clayton Farmers Market was owned by Straub's, and it was in their part of their parking lot. So the economics of farmers markets, these corporations, Schnucks and Dierbergs alone, back at that time, their grocery sales alone were $3.5 to $4 billion a year. And all farmers markets at that time in the country, 1,700, I think, were at that time, was about 1.5 billion. And then you add Costco's, you add Walmart's, you add Amazon, you add all these other all these other corporation large scale groceries, And it's really about like the ocean worrying about a drop of water. And the other thing about
Well,
farmers,
I know we're political around here, so that's the only reason why I asked.
yeah, no, that's the
No.
scale of it. That really is the economic scale of it. These are the smallest of the small farmers. And for them to have direct sales, they make more money, and they survive. But also, in recent years, Schnucks and Deerbergs, especially, and Whole Foods has always done this, but they scout out new interesting products. And where do those products get their start? Most of the time at a farmer's markets. And so some of our vendors have actually grown enough and scaled enough to create wholesale production and get on the shelf in a local grocery store. So it's been, we haven't had any flack, over the years, or the years since that time, concerns. This
Yeah,
question was.
that's great. I'm going to ask you one more. So we gave you 46,000 last year. That
Yeah.
was in not all of it was reimbursed, right? Did you
Well, I
all not?
submitted all the accounts, and I'll get together with Brooke and see what the difference is
Okay.
there. But,
Here's what I think we ought to do. And we'll get back. And I think you've answered enough questions, and we'll get back to a vote here, or somebody is going to make a motion. So I would appreciate you providing all the info. But I think if you want to say, if you got another, call it 30% or 40% even, right? Beyond what you got last year. And you're going to have to submit receipts where, and this again will all have to be approved by city council. If we gave you a 40% increase or what you had last year, knowing that, we need to see the applications and everything for the electric and your marketing and KSDK, wherever you're going to blast this. But I would like to see if the my fellow board members here would entertain that or consider that or. If that's even, a possibility. And Byron, I think you're on mute. And Christina, I think you're on mute.
And that number I just calculated, that would be if someone wishes to make a motion, that number would be 64,400. And I will say, if you all choose to do that now, I mean, the good thing about this is we can revisit in October. We can revisit in January when we meet if you all think additional funding is warranted at that point. So just the addition, if you do choose to reduce the award, you can always go back and amend if you all think it's warranted at another meeting.
And October should be right before you either renew or do something, probably more long term at Heman. So we'll
Yes.
iron all this out then, I think. But I think an increase now is warranted, is how I feel. But I'll leave it up to everybody else.
There's a big difference between when it was in the loop and now. I've been to both. I would like to see us do whatever we can so that we can get back. Do you? I know you have to have contracts with farmers. Will this give you that, Deb?
Well, I think what it would do is allow, I want to create a marketing package for farmers and for vendors. Why this area, why our market, why the U City area is, continues to be, not just because of the historic market in the loop. U City led the way in 1975 by building that permanent structure. They were the first ones and the oldest structured farmers market in St. Louis County. And we want to continue that addition, that tradition. And I think the reason I mentioned recruiting vendors, we've always done that in-house. We've never asked for money. But I want to create more of some targeted brochures and things like that specifically for farmers. why this area is good. I'm talking on the phone to them. I have a lot of new people calling, but how do I get them convinced that this is a location to be? How do I sell them the future of Olive when right now the street doesn't look so good? The park is stunning. Everybody loves it. They love being in the nature. But, they drive down Olive, that particular section, sets a tone for where they're going to bring their business. And I agree with Chairperson O'Brien in that I think, we make the market successful, we can help bring in new businesses along that strip of Olive, those little shops and things. That happened when I was the manager of the Clayton Market, and a lot of empty storefronts were on Forsyth, and new places went in after we
Right.
turned them around.
Does somebody want to make a motion? That I think we got that answered, and we'll revisit it in October, right, Bobette?
Right.
Okay.
I do have a question I'd like to ask Brooke.
Sure.
Brooke, do, because there's a lot of formation and structural items they have to work out. Can that be provided to you prior, like ongoing, and then we get to the October meeting? It's some structural items that we can see. Because there was
Yeah.
things about we need more power, electricity.
Oh, well, yes. Well, as far as the electricity, that has to be provided to me. That is city property. So nothing is happening until we get that and run that up the chain. So that will be provided. But as far as the other items, essentially, it's the same thing. In order to be reimbursed for we don't just dispense these funds. They have to reimburse. So, and Deb can attest to the fact that if I have questions or if I am not comfortable, I am going to ask because
That's
it's my
true.
signature that goes on there. If numbers are transversed, I'm sending an email. So whatever I get, between now and then, yes, you will have that. Certainly we can invite Deb back in October to provide a report on if this has had any impact or, just to let you guys know, hey, we did 20,000 in marketing and increased participation by this amount. We can certainly have her come back and do that.
That's fine.
Can we get a motion to move on this? Somebody,
Anybody?
what would a proper motion be?
Brooke, what was the number?
So you would do your motion. I'll say a motion like I did the others, and then you all can say so moved. So the motion would be to recommend disbursement of funds to the U City Farmers Market not to exceed $64,400 for fiscal year 2026.
And Brooke, that was the without the increase, right? Or no?
No,
Because that you
that's the
earlier
meat
that we
in the
thought.
middle. No,
Yeah,
that's
the
the meat
meeting
in
in the
the
middle.
middle.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the
Okay.
40% increase. So she wanted 91,000. I said the normal amount plus the five and the whatever, and we're meeting in the middle. So that's the 40% increase from her regular award.
Then we'll revisit this in October.
Yes.
Okay. I motion to approve the meeting in the middle of $64,000.
Come here.
For a second.
Let a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes.
All right, great. So thank you, Deb, for joining us tonight. I am going to go ahead and move you back to the attendee side. If I can remember how to do that.
Well, even so, yeah, she can just move back to a She can be on mute and go forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, final business item, and this is just really for discussion and your information, of course, for you guys to hear a little bit from Becky. So, if you all recall, we discussed the need to restructure, you know, the funding programs and whatnot, and so we created a subcommittee, and that subcommittee did have one meeting. And the outcome from that meeting was that before making any decisions on the types of programming or how to structure it, that we needed to conduct outreach with the businesses to actually hear from them, their thoughts on how they would like to see the money used, how it could help them, et cetera. Basically hear from them what they think a program should look like. So, of course, that we came up with that, and then we had to pause because I had no capacity to do that. So we have Becky on board now, our economic development manager. So she and Miles have been working. They have come up with a strategy to start business outreach, which actually started this month. So I will turn it over to Becky to give you guys a brief update or explanation, if you will, on their activities and how they see the business outreach moving forward. And you guys did get a copy of the memo that Becky prepared for me, and we got approved by the city manager before they started July 1.
Hi, good evening, Mayor and members of the board. Again, I'm Becky Alvin. Nice to meet you all officially. So we've been starting, we're calling this, you know, business outreach, but we're calling it a BR&E or business retention and expansion. And the goal is to really just get out into that the business community and start building the relationships and working with them on how can we serve you as a business community better. But then, you know, what are we doing good that we can use, you know, here's how we're really doing good and use that to attract new businesses too. So the memo details kind of we're doing a phased approach. The first approach is a little more informal, just getting out and talking with the businesses. If it's needed, we can do a much more formal approach. BREs have anywhere from just, you know, here's 10 questions that you have to here's 100 questions to answer. And so we're starting with the fewer questions so we don't overwhelm businesses. And then, you know, after we start getting responses and have a pretty good cross-section of the city, then we'll start revamping the programs that we have in place and deploying them. And then the goal is to keep this sustainable, that we touch or speak with every business every 3 to 4 years. To go back and so now, like, this is the baseline, and then, you know, 3 or 4 years now, we can say here's how they've grown over the past. As Brooke said, we did get started this month, so we've been making calls out to businesses to set up interviews, and so we get excitement. We're really busy right now. We'll have to try this again later, and then we've also had, is this a sales call? So we're getting lots of feedback. So if you hear anybody that says, did you know about this? Be like, oh yes, you should do this. It's not a sales call. We did have our first interview today with Integrity, John with Integrity. And I walked out with, I think, 5 pages of notes on thoughts and opinions, and we're ready to get going. So it's just the first of many.
So my hope, you guys, is that at the very least by January we'll be presenting you all with some suggested programs. The vision that I discussed with the subcommittee was, instead of this any business can apply for anything, was actually creating various programs with different goals and objectives. I did some research and found all types of micro grant programs and whatnot. So an example would be like, okay, this program will give a retailer $5,000 to invest in inventory in their store. So that's the vision, getting started there. So just wanted you guys to one meet Becky, hear from her, and then just know that we are making progress. It may be a little bit slow, and I know everyone's anxious to get those EDRST funds out in the community, but I think we all can agree after 2024 that it has to be structured a little bit better. So that it's efficient and effective. So, are there any questions for Becky?
No, I think good luck, Becky. We're all rooting for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go knock on those doors and see what the people want.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Awesome.
All right. So, with that, we
All
can
right.
move on.
Well, I'm going to call this meeting to an end. If unless anybody objects, we could schedule October, right, Brooke?
Well, you're so let's your agenda does call for board member comments. So are there
Oh,
any
sorry.
board member comments?
Sorry about that.
It's okay. We know you're ready
I got
to
an 8-week-old and a 22-month-old yelling dad at the door upstairs.
Oh, let's get you go. Let's get you on
Let's
your
get that.
way. Oh, yes. Okay. So board member comments. Next meeting date is October 2nd, 6:30 p.m. Please, please, please. I try to email you all a week in advance to let you to send a reminder and then get your packet out. We always want to make sure we have a quorum, otherwise we're wasting time, everybody's time. So just please, 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 if you see my emails, respond. But October 2nd, 6:30 p.m. next meeting. And then with that, you can call for a motion to adjourn, Chair O'Brien.
All right, I'll call for
I
anybody.
motion to
I
adjourn.
second.
Second. Got it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, you guys have a great
Thank
night.
you.
We'll see you soon.
Thank you.